Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
After 11 South African time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. It's another beautiful Wednesday morning here in Johannesburg, and of course, it's time for the Bliss of Marriage Part 2 every Wednesdays between 11 to 12 o'clock. The 18th of August 2021, which is also the 9th of Muharram, 1443. We welcome our beloved engineer brother Bonfaze, and of course we welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal in Hafiz, Yusuf Asmal in company, and we welcome our beloved listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Remember, our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27847863132. +27847863132. Well, let's cross over live to our beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad, who is with us, but of course not in our studio this morning. He's in Durban. So let's welcome him to the program, Ustad. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning here in Johannesburg. I don't know there in Durban. Welcome to the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians. Gee, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. In Durban, a beautiful, wonderful day. And we're facing the beach here. So it's excellent, excellent. Allah's mercy. Allah, Jalla wa Ala, give all of us tawfiq that we fast today, tomorrow, or tomorrow and Friday, inshallah. Tonight, we know, is the night of Ashura, the night of 10th of Muharram, and tomorrow, the day of Ashura. So we should be spending some extra time and some extra meal and so forth with our wives, our children, and family tonight, inshallah, and tomorrow fast. Allah grant us tawfiq.
Ameen, 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 ameen. We said that there are many listeners, of course, fasting today, fasting tomorrow or Friday. Mother wants to know that dua for Ashura, is it authentic or not authentic, Ustad?
Remember, for Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulihi al-Kareem, amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For Ashura, three things are required from the Ummah, the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Today, the 9th and 10th, tomorrow we fast, or we fast the 10th and 11th, that is Thursday, Friday, or we fast all 3 days, 9, 10, and 11, that will be the best of the best. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ahtasibu ala Allah, ayyukaffira sanat allati qablaha. The authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, that the previous year's sins will be forgiven. Second one is to spend on your family, your wife, children, and so forth. And this is more to do with food stuff and food, you know. So anyway, Nabi alayhi salam's hadith mentioned in Bayhaqi, Razin, Mishkat Sharif, Man wassa'a ala iyali fi nafaqa yawma ashura, wassa'a allahu sa'ira sanatihi. When you spend on your family, then on the night, on the day of Ashura, Allah Jalla wa'ala will increase your risk and make your risk and sustenance and providence and your provision easy for you for the remainder of the year and increase it. So Sufyan bin Uyayna says 50, 60 years we tried it and it works like that. And then in the Taiful Ma'arif it is mentioned. And the third one is, Taballahu fihi ala qawm, ويتوب فيه على قوم آخرين. It is the night and the day of Tawbah. Allah accepted the Tawbah of a people, the Bani Israel, the Israelites, and Allah will accept the Tawbah of others as well. So therefore, me and you tonight make Tawbah. There's no specific dua mentioned for Ashura, specifically in Quran Sharif, or the Sunnah Mubarakah. Ulama write dua, so that's good. So read Rabbana Atina Fid Dunya Hasana Wa Fil Akhirati Hasana Wa Qina Adhaban Nar. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. Make dua for ourselves, our families, and the entire Ummah Muslimah. Allah Jalla Wala, make it easy and accept it.
Anonymous sister Ustad says, Dear Mufti Saab, my husband has a wife in India. Hasn't seen her for 5 years. They still married, Mufti Saab. I am a bit worried because he's leaving for India this week Sunday. And we have two small daughters. What happens if he doesn't come back to South Africa? Ustad, anonymous sister.
So when your husband has a wife in India and after 5 years is going back, so obviously that wife is still his wife, so that's why he's going back there. Even if they separate, they were not living together for 5-10 years, she's still his wife. And now you knew that he's got a wife and you got married to him, you have two daughters. So you don't expect him just to go for 5 hours or 5 days and come back. So he will take a long time there as well. He spent 5 years with you. So you need to be fair also to him and to his wife, the first wife. And in that way there, he spent 1 year or 3 months or 6 months or 5 months. So inshallah, he'll come back. So you must remember that. You must continue making dua and begging Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Just inform him he must leave enough means and money and so forth for you and your two small children. Not that he just goes and he leaves you all in a lurch and so forth. That is un-Islamic.
Somebody says here, Ustad, that my daughter, she is in matric, Mufti Saab. She wants a car and a husband as an incentive if she passes well at the end of the year. Can we agree to this, Ustad?
That's the problem today. You must remember, we spoil our children so much, and then when things don't go their way, then they want to be rebels and so forth. It's haram for you to give her a car and give her this and this and all these things. So what big achievement if she passed matric and all these type of things there? Today the matric certificate is not worth the paper on which is written. There are millions of people in South Africa that got matric, and remember that they can't even find a decent job. So all this there, she's blackmailing you already from now. And you parents, I can't understand how you'll just fall for all these tricks. This is emotional blackmailing. So it's totally haram for you all to do these type of things there and say it's incentive and so forth. So Islamically, it's not acceptable.
Ustad, somebody says here, Dear Mufti Saab, please tell me if a deceased home is in his name with a male heir, alone as his daughter passed away many years ago. And in both the deceased parent's name and the daughter was alive when the mother passed away. So how would the shares be calculated in both instances? Does the son inherit everything in the first instance? And in the second instance, does the share of the daughter go to her children as she was alive at the time, Ustad?
Remember, the way I understand the question is this, that if the father or the mother passed away, and then there is a son and there is a daughter, so you must remember the son will inherit 2/3 and the daughter will inherit 1/3. So let's say it's 300,000 rand. So 200,000 will go to the son, 100,000 will go to the daughter. But before the daughter could receive 100,000 or just after she received it, then she passed away, so her share will then go to her children and so forth if she's married to her husband and so forth. And if she's not married and she doesn't have other siblings, only her brother, the one brother there, so he, this brother here, he will inherit everything. So number one is this, that in the first case where the deceased is either the father or the mother, and they were survived by a son and a daughter, so there the ratio 2 to 1, that's straightforward. And subsequently, then the daughter passed away, and it seemed that she was married or she has children and so forth. So then it will go to her children if she has a son. Then that son there will deprive that brother that is alive, her brother, the deceased brother. But if she has only daughters, then remember they will inherit 2/3 and the residue remainder will go to the brother, 1/3. So we need to get all these details as well.
I see there's a listener from Azad will say, please, Mulana Arafat, read this out to our beloved dear Muftisab. The brother says, remember Mullah Umar's reply to Bush. God has promised us victory and Bush has promised us defeat. The world will see which promise is truthful. Ustad.
100% Almighty Allah Jalla Wala states, Inna wa'adallahi haqq. In the Quran Sharif, the promises of Almighty Allah are always the truth. And these shayateen, you must remember, about America, you must remember what Kissinger said. I was a very young boy, but the certain statements, it stuck in my head with Allah's help and Allah's mercy. He said, America doesn't have friends. America only has interest. They will always use you and then they will just dump you. They did that always. Today I sent out to you the Marcus Sahaba team there. Their president, Jimmy Carter, he says with 240 years, you must remember in existence, and only 16 years we had peace. Otherwise, America was at war at all time with some country, invading here, bombing here, harming this one. So imagine if you have a country and remember 240 years old and only 16 years you had peace. So that shows that that country is a warmonger. It shows that country there is a bully. It shows that country there wants to be the policeman of the world. Almighty Allah brought it to its knees. Almighty Allah humiliated them. People who don't have helicopters, people who don't have planes, people who don't have drones, people who don't have intelligence and so forth, secret intelligence, people who have Iman and Islam and walking around with sandals and chimples, they brought them and their allies, 48 countries, and humiliated each one. If you look at the planes that were leaving, somebody was asking questions this morning. I said, look at what the Americans did. That in that C-17 planes of theirs, they made the Afghans sit there, and their dogs, their security dogs, they made them sit in front. So the dogs of the Americans are treated better than the Afghan people, but they want to come tell us about how Taliban want to treat their women or their children or the people and so forth. America's history is a very, very ugly history, but people are fools, masses are asses, you must remember that, and they keep on fooling them with their Hollywood and what they are. You must remember, you know, they have an art of speaking and their oratory skills and so forth. So that is how they keep on. But now the American dream is crumbling and the empire is falling apart. Oh, Trump also already admitted and said it's one of the worst defeats in the history of America. And if you look at what they have veterans and their army have to say, those of them who served and so forth, they said this was indeed one of the worst defeats. So you see in Afghanistan today, the Pakistan embassy is functioning there. The Russian embassy is functioning and the Chinese one is functioning. So mashallah, they got the nuclear power among the Muslim countries. Those Arab stonepot dictators who worship America more than Allah, they also are humiliated. And you must remember that you see that the Europeans, they also admitted now we will have to deal and speak to Taliban. They are the people in charge now. So slowly, slowly, they all will come back. And these two others, that is America, that is China and Russia. China and Russia also have veto and so forth, powers in United Nations. So they know what they're doing. Russia knows they got a good threshing from the Afghan and the Mujahideen. And China, They never went to war. Even President Carter said so. When they never went to war, they were developing, progressing all the time. And we, the Americans, President Carter said, were going to war, and this is the end result. We lost trillions and billions of dollars and no benefit at all.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. A listener wants to know, Ustaz, that 10 divorces in one breath, is this considered as one or three? My husband said, I give you 10 talaks right now, and he walked away. And this morning, Ustad, he got a fatwa from a sheikh in Cape Town with a hadith stating that it's one. Ustad.
Remember that people will only run for fatwas to Cape Town or here and there when they're looking for loopholes. You must remember, sister, you take that fatwa and you tear it up. It's not worth the paper on which it's written, and whichever sheikh or whoever signed it or any organization stamped it, you must tell them, I said, Mufti AK said, that fatwa is not even worth the paper on which it's written. You must remember, we belong to Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We don't belong to the Christian groups. So if a person gave 3 talaqs or more than 3, so it will be considered as 3 talaqs, fi majlis in wahid at one time, and the hadith is in Bukhari Sharif, 3 is 3. So don't let them fool you. You must remember that 3 talaqs is 1 and so forth. Your marriage is over and you must never ever go and stay with your husband or sleep with him and so forth. And that is the fatwa of the Shafi'is that the Shafi'i sheikhs there in Cape Town, they follow. But yeah, they don't follow Imam Shafi. They will follow Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Qayyim, and so forth. So ask them, since when that is jaiz and permissible? So all 4 schools, the Shafi'is, the Hanafis, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, say 3 talaq is 3. There's ijma and consensus of Sahaba. So don't let your husband fool you and so forth. You must remember, if you're going to go back to him or stay with him, every minute, every moment, Allah's curse is upon you. And remember, your children that are going to come afterwards will be harami children, because you'll know that your marriage is done and dusted and finished and broken, but deliberately you'll mock and play with the sharia and so forth. A nation and a people who did that, all the Jews, so Almighty Allah teaches us in the noble Quran, فَقُلْنَا لَهُمْ كُونُوا كِرَدَةً خَاسِئِينَ. We commanded them to become monkeys that are disgraced and humiliated. So that is what Allah Ta'ala does when we play and we mock the Sharia. So your marriage is finished. He must go his way, you go your way, and finish. You must remember, Quran Kareem states, وَإِن يَتَفَرَّقَا يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلًّا مِّن سَأَتِي. When a 3 talaq divorce has taken place, Allah Ta'ala makes you independent of one another, and Allah will help you. So it's history now. You must carry on with the geography.
There's a sister saying here, Ustad, from Johannesburg in Mayfair, that they recently married. It's exactly a month that they are married. But she says, dear Mufti Saab, my husband is going to work and he's not here. But for somehow, I just feel my husband is not happy. Mufti Saab, any specific du'as that I could recite? I just feel he's not happy. He's just always sad and down. Ustad.
So remember that there's a lot of times that the shaitan will also come and make waswasa, whisperings of shaitan. That's his job. And what he wants, yufarriquna bihi bayn al-mar'i wa zawji. He wants to cause separation between husband and wife. So you must not worry of that. Whenever these type thoughts come, you must say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. So how are we going to bring the happiness in your house? How are we going to bring the smile in your house, sister, in Azadwal, or wherever you are residing and staying? So number one, remember on your wedding night, did you do these things? So on your wedding night, you're supposed to read Salat. Husband in front, wife at the back, and he's supposed to be the Imam. If you didn't do it, even now you can do it, you won't get the same reward. But remember that at least better late than never. And second, he's supposed to give you a gift beside the mahar and marital gift. And then third one, remember that he's supposed to sprinkle water on your forehead. You're supposed to do the same for him and read the dua he's supposed to read for you. Allahumma inni asaluka khayraha wa khayra ma fiha wa a'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma fiha. The hadith of Salat is mentioned in Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba. The hadith of giving a gift when the husband and wife are alone on Laylatul Zifaf, the night they meet after the nikah. So that is mentioned in Mustad Ahmad. And Musannaf Abdul Razak speaks about the water. And that's three recipes for the ladies, three prescriptions for the men. Fourth one, make salam to one another. أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَهَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ أَفْشُوا السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. So when you give salam currency, your house becomes a home, and your home becomes دار السلام. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Allah Jalla Wala makes that home a home of peace, tranquility, serenity. Number five, give some affectionate names, nicknames. You call your husband darling, or you call him, you must remember, sweetheart. You call him my John, whatever he likes. And he must call you my poppy, my sweetheart, my honey, and all that. And tonight you tell him, honey, give some money, you see. So all these things there must be done, inshallah. So that's number five. Number six, I told you already, give gifts to one another. Tahaddo, tahabu, any time of the year. So remember, that will remove, fa innal hadiyata tuzhibu dwaghain. It will remove the malice, rancor, and hatred. And then number seven, smile with one another. Smiling is contagious. So remember, husband, look at your wife and smile. Our wife, look at the husband and smile. So in that way, there is not only the bodies must meet, the hearts must meet. When the hearts meet, then this unity of thought, both of you must go in the same direction, not in opposite direction. Number seven, that was. Number eight, that you must share the same utensil, drink from the same plate, eat from the same plate, drink from the same glass, and so forth. And in that, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Sunan Nasai. And she says, Siddiqa, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, I drink water. Not only did Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam drink from the same glass, the side from where I drank, from there he drank, alayhi salatu salam, the masterpiece be upon him, wa ana haizun, and I was in my menses. That is akhlaq. That is what the precedent was set by the master, alayhi salam. 9. Read Surah 25, verse 74. Rabbana هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين. Oh, Almighty Allah, grant us such spouses and such husbands and wives and children that are the coolness of the eyes. Number 9, read وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. Chapter 7, verse 180. That Allah Jalla Wala commands us that read the names, the blessed attributes of Almighty Allah. Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud. Ya Allah, you enhance this marriage. Increase the love between us. You are the creator of love. The 10th one, sister, before husband-wife relationship. So tonight you should give him, you must remember, nice meal, extra, and so forth. 7-course meal. And the last course will be intercourse. And before all that, what you must read? Bismillah. Hadith Bukhari Sharif. Bismillah. Jannibna shaitan. Wa jannibi shaitan amar zaktana. Ya Allah, keep the shaitan far, far away from us. And keep the shaitan far away from the awlad and offspring you are going to bless us with. And start ta'aleem in your house. And then your husband, not only will he be smiling, but he'll be happy. He'll give you cash, he'll give you credit card, he'll give you debit card, and everything he'll give you. So that is what 10 recipes I gave you now, sister. So inshallah, you practice on it, and then you tell us after 6 months how things are.
Allahu Akbar. I see on the same question the sister says, Ustad, we both sleeping separate rooms. Maybe if Mufti Sahib could maybe just give me a ta'weez, Ustad.
So after 1 month, there's so much problem already. That you're sleeping in separate room, then how the love and all that will increase. So you must remember, shaitaniyat, And if there is a real problem, Allah alone knows. So you need to speak to his mother, our father, or whoever, that the son of yours doesn't seem very happy. Did you all force him into this marriage? Does he have another old flame of his? Maybe he was in love with somebody. All this is haram, but I'm speaking about what happens. So maybe he had an old flame that he had in the varsity or in the college or in school, and you all said no, and then just pushed him and pressurized him to get married to me. So if that is the case, you need to ask your mother-in-law and so forth, and speak to them that why your son is behaving like this is abnormal. 1 month you married and already sharing separate, going separate beds and so forth. So remember that all this seems, something seems fishy. So you know they have a shop's name, something fishy. So there, otherwise fish is very nice. But she, machi sabse achi. So remember, fish is the best thing. Last night I had nice fish, mashallah. So you must remember that that is something seems fishy in that scenario, in that case.
What's that, Mrs. Adrian saying that, listen to 702 now, dear Mufti Saab, about on Indian origin. Could you please elaborate on that, Ustad, Mrs. Adrian?
Remember, Mrs. Adrian, you know very well, from 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock, we are live on air. So how I'm going to listen to another radio station? And now it's about 11:30. We still got half an hour or so to go. So anyway, I don't know who's the guest and what they're saying and so forth and so on. Let them say what they want to. We tell you what Islam says. Number one, you must make notes of this, Mrs. Adrian. Chapter 49, Surah Hujurat, the chapter on the apartments and the rooms. And remember, referring to the honorable houses of the honorable wives of the master, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, chapter 49, verse 13. Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, O humankind, inna khalaqnakum min zakari wa unsa, we created you from one male and one female. So that we don't believe in all the Darwin theory and that they were chimpanzees and monkeys. We reject all that there. If they want to be there, that's their business. In Islam, we reject it totally. Inna khalaqnakum min zakari wa unsa wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabail. Then we made you. It is the authority, sovereignty, majesty of Allah. So Almighty Allah stamps his authority by using the royal pronoun. That we made you shu'uba in various nations and tribes. Lita'arafu, so that you recognize one another. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most noble of you by Almighty Allah are those who have the greatest taqwa, piety, Allah consciousness. Chapter 14, verse 13. In the Hajjatul Wida, in the 10th year of the Hijrah, remember, cognizance must be taken of the fact, in the 11th year of the Hijrah, during the month of Rabiul Awwal, just 3 months or so after the Hajj, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam demise took place. So there in that memorable sermon and khutbah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the messenger of Islam, peace be upon him, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, La fadla li arabiyin ala ajamiyin, wa la li ajamiyin ala arabiyin. لا فضل لأبيض على أسود ولا لأسود على أبيض إلا بالتقوى. So remember, the person dark complexion does not have virtue over the person with light complexion. The person with fair complexion does not have virtue, remember, over the person with dark color, dark complexion. The person who's an Arab got no virtue over the non-Arab, and vice versa. So what is the criteria? Illa bittaqwa. That is true piety, Allah consciousness. So remember, if you're discussing India and so forth and so on, so what is the meaning of that? So the meaning, I don't know what they're saying, but this is what we will say. So remember, whether you come from India, you come from America, you come from China, all that, you will be judged according to your own deeds and your own actions. One. Number two is this, any country you go to, you will find a good history and a bad history. So the Muslims ruled India for 700 years. And now from 2014 till now, you have the BJP party, Modi and them. So who are racist and apartheid government. Remember the continuing with ethnic cleansing and so forth, and treat the Muslims as second, third class citizens, as you can see in Kashmir and other places. And therefore, our Taliban, I sent it out already yesterday, they sent a warning to Modi and company and said, because they were fighting with the Americans, they were on the side of the Afghan government, that if you attack us, harm any one of Mujahideen, then see what we do with you. So the alliance is getting up already. One side you got Pakistan, one side you got Afghanistan, one side you must remember you have China. So it's a very strong alliance, and they know that they can take India on and definitely defeat India. So that is, they already showed it in the past. So that is what they are doing. So politically, strategically. So I don't know which perspective, which angle they're discussing on other radio stations. That's their business. But from Islamic point of view, you must remember India produced great, great scholars and so forth. So if you take our Ustad, Hazrat Mawlana Salimullah Khan, up in India, 27 days, he became a hafiz of Quran Sharif. You take Allah Kashmiri, Rahimahullah, and the work he did in his time. He passed away in 1933. You take the work of Shaykhul Islam, Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani, Nawarallahu Barqadahu, who passed away in 1957. So like that, there were giants there, you must remember. And you will also find the sellouts, like everywhere in the world, you will find people who are selling out all the time and so forth and so on. So that is our message on that issue.
Subhanallah. Hussain, one more question before we go for an interval. Listener is asking here, what dua can I read for a healthy, normal baby, Ustad?
Read the dua of the Anbiya, prophets and messengers, alayhimus salam. Both of them were in their old age. And remember, that's the time they begged, they petitioned Almighty Allah. Chapter number 37, Surah Swafat, just after Surah Yasin, verse 100, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam begged, petitioned Allah, Rabbi habli mina salihin. Oh, my beloved Allah, grant me pious children. First translation. Second translation, Rabbi habli mina salihin. Oh, beloved Allah, grant me normal children. There must be nothing wrong with their limbs and their body and so forth and so on. So every parent is concerned about that. And then Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam, in his old age, he cried to Allah. Chapter 3, verse 38. Surah 3, Surah Al-Imran, verse 38. Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyibah. Oh, beloved Allah, grant me from your side such children that are pure, that are chaste. Innaka sami'ud du'a. Verily, O Allah, that you are the one who listens to the du'as. So read that, make abundant istighfar. Yumdidkum bi amwaliu wa baneen. Allah will increase your wealth. Allah will increase your children. And Allah Ta'ala will make life easy for you as well and grant you Jannat al-Firdaus and the streams of Jannat al-Firdaus.
20 minutes to 12 o'clock, you are tuning in listening to Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah on our program, The Bliss of Marriage. Ustad, a listener says that, could Mufti Sahab please advise at what age does the child get the inheritance of her father if he passed away when she was 2 years old? Ustad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In Islam, remember the child will inherit even before they're born. For example, the husband passed away and the wife was pregnant and expecting, and thereafter 2 months, 3 months, 5 months, she gave birth. That child, the boy or the girl, the son or daughter, they will inherit. That is the justice system of Islam, not the satanic system of the West and of democracy and capitalism and Zionism and all these isms. So you must remember that in Islam we say that there is mirasul hamal, and that is that the child who's in the mother's womb. So we will delay the final. That final, you must remember the distribution of the estate, and then when we are 100% sure the child is alive, we know it's a boy or a girl, whatever the shares are, so that also will be given to the child. So it doesn't mean physically, practically like that. You appoint the curator. You appoint somebody to be in charge of the share of the child. So whether the child is 1 day old or 2 days old, whether the child is 2 years old or 5 years old, so whether the curator is the executor or the heir or somebody else upon whom you'll have agreement that the person is a person of integrity, so that is what will be done. And the Quran Sharif addresses this issue as well. وَبَتَلُوا الْيَتَابَى حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغُ النِّكَاحِ فَإِنْ آنَسْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ رُشْدًا فَدْفَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ. So when you have orphaned children, their father passed away, and they are 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, so you keep on testing them, and when you find they're intelligent enough to work out and use the money responsibly, then you give it to them. So that is what the Quran Sharif is teaching us.
Ustad, one listener says, Mufti Saab, you mentioned something to the effect that China has an alliance to Afghanistan. So is the Chinese not currently persecuting the Uyghur Muslims, Ustad?
You must remember the Uyghur Muslims are being persecuted. But what will happen is today all countries will look for their own benefit. So China will say that we are not coming here to invade you. We are coming here to develop here. Just now I will send out something. You know, in Afghanistan, there are so much raw material. So it's not they coming in there as a humanitarian friend or something, as a good Samaritan. They also have their hidden agenda, and they also have their ulterior motive. And for Taliban to take them on, so obviously Taliban are not so naive. They just brought down America and the allies and all the shaitans put together. So whether it was the British Empire, I sent it out already this morning, how they defeated the British Empire, how they defeated the Russians, how they defeated the Americans and the coalition. So they also want, they must have somebody powerful in the United Nations who can have the veto and so forth and so on. So it's got nothing to do that they're going to say that no, what you are doing there with the Uyghur Muslims is good and correct. Obviously, they can't say that. And they know they won't be able to do that. But they're looking at what they will call their mutual interest and so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you can raise the same argument. Pakistan got so many divisions there and so forth. But it's the only one that will stand with them in the sense that it is a nuclear power among Muslim countries, Arab countries. Those Arab puppet regimes got so much money, but no one could become nuclear because they were worshipping America and Israel more than they worship Almighty Allah. So, my brother, you must remember, you need to have some common sense, which is not common today, to understand the real politics.
Ustad, my husband pays all our house bills. I buy all our clothing and gifts. Mufti Saab, if we get divorced, who does all the clothing and gifts belongs to? I bought it, like furniture, etc. Ustad.
Allah forbid, you must always make dua, you stay together and so forth. But maybe there's some rows and ructions between you and your husband. So in Islam, you must remember all the expenditure is upon the husband, upon the father. And that is what Islam says. But if the wife, she's a woman of influence, she has cash and she has all that, so she wants to buy furniture, she wants to buy cutlery, crockery, whatever, clothing. So all that belongs to her. Nobody can take it away from her. And whatever your husband gave you as a gift, whatever you must remember your in-laws gave you as a gift, all that belongs to you. So Allah forbid if divorce takes place, whatever belongs to you, you're entitled to take it, or you can sell it to some third party. All that is your choice and your prerogative.
My husband has Mufti Saab bipolar. How do I control his anger, Ustad?
Remember that today so many people suffer from various diseases and so forth. So two du'as always and daily we must read. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afiya. The hadith mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif, wherein Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed his uncle, Abbas radiallahu anhu, his chacha, his kaka, father's brother, and said, oh uncle, you must ask Allah for afiya. He says, Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu said that thrice, three different occasions, I asked the Master, and he said, ask Allah for afiyah. So what is afiyah? Safety, comfort, good health, honor, dignity, all these things here. And remember that you ask Allah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sayyil asqam. Ya Allah, I seek your protection from the evil and dreaded diseases. So now the lady or the brother, when they got the sickness, then they will just run away from the public glare and public focus and so forth. People forget about them, but remember they must not be forgotten. And in that way, they all may Allah alleviate their plight and make it easy for them. So what we have to do is beg Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala for afiyah, safety, comfort, and beg Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala that He protect us from all the dreaded and evil sicknesses. Those who are ill and so forth, learn all these du'as, two du'as from the Quran Sharif. There are many more, but I'll just give you two, three. Number one, the dua of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam, chapter 21, verse 83. Anni massaniya durru wa anta arhamur rahimin. This calamity has struck me, and you, Allah, you are the most merciful one to show mercy. So in that way there, Allah Jalla wa Ala will make easy and give you shifa. Read, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min zalimeen. The dua of Nabi Yunus alayhi salam, the worry, sorry, all will disappear. Read Surah Fatiha abundantly, seven times or more also. And in that way, blow on yourself and Allah Jalla wa Ala will give you shifa. And give out some charity. Da'u mardakum bi sadaqah. So once you give out charity, then the mercy of Almighty Allah comes and inshallah they'll be cured.
One listener says, I'm from Durban. I follow every program of yours. So, okay. Taliban wins. That was the brother says here. So now what happens if the Americans comes back to fight and to take over again and start bombing their places all over again? Don't you think a lot of lives will be lost? Call me Mr. Nobody. Ustad.
Brother, you must be very naive, you know, to think America will come back. When the British Empire were defeated, when the Russians were defeated, and now America, they have to worry about what their voters are going to say. They must remember Biden's ratings have come down so much that there's even fear that among his own party, the Democrats, if you understand American politics, they might tell him he has to resign. From the Republican Party, that's the demand already. But remember, from the Democrats, some of them are openly criticizing him. So remember that no person in his right mind from America, the president, the Pentagon, anybody else will say, let's go back. So you must remember, you know the amount of booty, spoils of war they gave the Taliban. The Taliban can become one of the greatest powers there in Asia now with the amount of booty and amount of spoils of war. I give you one example. I don't think you understand politics much, brother. So you must remember that the Chinook helicopters, they have so many helicopters now, more than 150 other countries in the world. So meaning, if you just take helicopters, Afghanistan is in the top 20, top 30, top 40 countries regarding helicopters. Then with that, you must go and see the arms, the guns, and the SUVs. Then you take the drones, you take all that. So all that came to them now free of charge. Free of charge, I mean, as booty and spoils of war. So do you think America is going to come back? They even worried about the people who got left behind, and you speaking of them coming back, they'll never come back, inshallah. Ameen. They got such a whooping, such a threshing, it made them wonder. People with sandals, people with bicycles, people without one helicopter, without one drone, without one plane defeated us. The absolute disgrace and humiliation of the big Satan, the big Shaitan, America, and its puppies and puppets with them. So they all had to pick up with their tails between their legs and run.
Somebody says, Ustad, my husband was involved in a business scam, Ustad. Now he lost everything, including our house. So dear Mufti Saab, is he a sinner? Because these guys were super, super convincing. We did gain in the beginning till this company vanished. Ustad, anonymous sister.
Yes, when your intention is also crooked, then you get involved with the crooks and then you lose everything. So don't just blame them. They are to blame. You must remember that they came what they are, gullible talk, and they have the gift of the gab and so forth. And maybe there's some Maulana also involved there and so forth, who say the Sharia compliant. That's why we have big objections on the Sharia compliant. And your husband fell for the trick, and he was greedy also. Maximum profit in minimum time. Profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, in minimum time. And now the company is gone and you can't trace them, your money is gone. So remember, in a case like that, if you say you lost everything, we say inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un, but you have no one to blame but yourself. Quran Kareem has made this very clear. Wa ma asabakum min musibatin fa bima kasabat aydikum. When calamities befall you, majority of the time it is your own deeds and your own actions. When it comes on the pious people, Anbiya, Sahaba, Awliyaullah, then it is to elevate their rank and status. When it comes to ordinary people like us who commit sins daily, Allah forbid, then remember it's a punishment. But the punishment is also a blessing in disguise to bring us back to the right path. وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَىٰ دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. So don't tell me now you and your husband want to collect zakat and all that. It's not permissible. You must remember that he got involved in some pyramid scheme or some other crooked scheme and so forth. So when the debts are haram, then there's no zakat and all that you can collect. So you must start from number one all over again and make sincere tawbah and say, Ya Allah, I want only halal and tayyibah, that which is halal and lawful, and that which is tayyib and pure and wholesome. And even if the deals come that through that are very attractive, he must stay far away from them, because that is how he lost everything the first time.
Ustad Karisa wants to know that is our beloved Mullah Umar, is he still alive? And Karisa says that are we all sure that Usama has passed away, Ustad?
Remember, Mullah Umar is rahimahullah, long time ago he passed away. And Usama bin Laden, long time he passed away. That's what Obama showed the world. Obama showed the world that this is the body of Usama, and that they didn't show anybody. All that, I told you just now, the masses are asses. It was just a trick to fool the American public and remember to win the re-election. So if you caught such a big fish, I'm here by the ocean now, and remember, I pull out the fish. I can't even fish properly, but I say example, 100 kilo fish I pull out. So what will happen? Such a big crowd will come. Today you must remember every person, every second person got a cell phone. How many people will go and put in the media and so forth? No one saw it. No one knows about it. They just wrapped up one person, threw in the ocean. And yes, Obama caught Usama. Big lie it is. Just like 9/11 and so forth. To fool the public. But now, the biggest fool is America themselves now. With the humiliation and disgrace. So Mullah Omar, rahimahullah. Usama bin Laden, rahimahullah. And remember, we make dua for them. Allah grant them Jannah. Allah Ta'ala forgive all the mistakes, sins, and the current ruler and Mullah Amir and Khalifa for the Afghan people, Mullah Abdul Ghani. So he is the one in charge now. So make dua, Allah Ta'ala grant them that victory more and more, because the whole world's eyes are upon them now, that what will be their next step and so forth. They're just waiting to look at their faults and pounce upon them.
Ustad, we go to Bloemfontein. This is one of our beloved listeners, Haji Ibrahim. He says, being a big night tonight, entire household, Ustad, have been tested positive, wife being hospitalized also, members at home also not very well, to prepare goodies for supper. So how can one benefit from Allah mercy of this night, Ustad?
So obviously that you don't have to go prepare a 10-course meal and 9-course meal and so forth. So just a little bit extra, you buy fruits and so forth, and you bring it there to the house, and you give it to your wife, and you give to the children. So that also is sufficient. So we got the wrong concept, you know. The problem with us is every night we have nice meals, and now when you tell them spend a little bit more, they want to enter into lavishness and extravagance, which is not permissible, and all this then is done just to show off and so on. So what is so difficult in going to buy some banana, some nachos, some oranges, some fruit and so forth and so on, and then you give it to the family and so forth. So because of your circumstances, this one is sick and that one is sick, everybody should read Surah Fatiha 7 times and blow on themselves the hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Inshallah, with the barakah of that, Allah Jalla Wala will give them complete cure and shifa-i kamil.
Someone wants to know, Ustad, all your lectures in Durban, how do they get it, Ustad?
So you must remember every night after the lecture, inshallah, then I'll go to the people who invited me, tea and so forth and so on. And then when I come back, then my brother Tobela sends the podcast to me and I send it out to the groups. So mashallah, our groups are also increasing. Now we got 12 groups on mine. And then we got the other 4 groups there, and then we got another 5. So about 15, 18 groups we're running simultaneously now. With the help and mercy of Almighty Allah, we send it out on all those groups, and then the people there send it forward and so forth. So what we have tonight is in Avondale after Isha. Then tomorrow night in Scottsboro Masjid, Mona Zamir Khan is there. And then inshallah Friday, Juma in Phoenix, Mona Huzaifa is there. And then Friday night in Ottawa after Isha, Masjid Umar Farooq, radiallahu anh. So it shows that all this will be podcast and we will send it out to you. So remember, we don't want the Ummah to be deprived. The podcast is very good. In your leisure time, for the pleasure of Allah, you can listen to it and listen to our message, what we are informing and teaching the Ummah.
Ustad, it's a minute left to 12 o'clock for our 12 o'clock news. News from your side, Ustad?
Yeah, JazakAllah khair to you, Mona Arafat. 12 to 1 after the news will be Mona Salim Dorat of Leicester, UK. And he'll be discussing the respect to parents. And thereafter, 1:05 to 1:30 will be Surah Kahf, which we started yesterday. Yesterday we did Surah Kahf, verses 1 to 7. Today will be verses 8 to 12, inshallah Aziz. 1:30 to 2 will be Surah Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 122, inshallah Aziz. And remember, tonight I will be in Avondale Musalla, the one that is run by Haji Muhammad Ikhlas and the Capital Group and so forth. And remember, the program will start just after 7:30, inshallah, right up to 8:30. So make dua for us. All may Allah accept us for his deen. All may Allah make us the khadims and the people who live with iman and die with iman. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Honorable Fadilatul Ustad, all the way from Durban at the moment. Well, it's time for me to leave you on this beautiful Wednesday morning. And of course, next week, Tuesday again, we will be back with our bliss of marriage. See you guys tomorrow morning, same time, same place on our program, As-Safinatu Ila Al-Jannah. From myself and all of you out there, Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ahdina sa jami'a. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan
marhaba. Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.